process of looking for something else. So if you would pray about that, I'd appreciate it. Okay? Let's take our books again and turn to number 22.
Thank you. Jesus did for me.
Book of Acts, chapter 1. I'm going to sit up here and preach from now on. Now I can see you. I noticed this morning I could hardly see anybody, only the people in the front three rows, and the rest of the people were getting away without having a look at me for the rest of the time. And so in Acts, chapter 1, I just want to read this for you. This is the second sermon in a four-part series here. And it starts with the disciples watching Jesus ascend up into heaven right out of their sight in Acts chapter 1. And starting at verse 9, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he," that's Jesus, "was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." You know, that's the last time Jesus was here. And yes, he appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, but he didn't come back down. He just appeared to him. But this is the last time Jesus was here. And we're still waiting for him to come back. Yes, and I'm even looking up in the skies, waiting for him to come, and more so now than ever before, because of the things I see going on in the earth. But back here, something else had to be said. And in verse 10, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up," you know, and I wouldn't blame them for that. Wow, what a sight that was. "Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." How about that? Blessed promise of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also exhortation to don't stand here gazing up into heaven. There are things for you to do.
And last week we looked at the duties of the Christian, starting with Bible reading. And what I wanted to do was, I wanted to give you this exhortation to read your Bible and base it upon how Jesus used his Bible, and then how the early church people used their Bible, and then how you should use your Bible. Tonight we want to look at the duty of prayer. While he's gone, we've been told to pray. And so I want to show you how Jesus prayed, and how the early church prayed, and then how you should pray, right out of the scriptures. Would you start out by going to Matthew chapter 6? Matthew chapter 6, and let's see the Lord praying here in his words concerning prayer. Matthew chapter 6, and starting at verse 5. This is in the section of the Beatitudes, and within the passage I'm going to read is what is called the Lord's Prayer. But I'm going to tell you, you are not obligated to say the Lord's Prayer over and over and over and over again repetitiously. It wasn't given in order to do that. The Lord's Prayer was given to teach us how we should pray. And so we look at verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain, what does it say? Yeah, don't use vain repetitions. There's the Lord's own exhortation against doing such a thing. And yet you know what the practice of the Roman Catholic Church is. You know what the practice of many Protestant churches are. To stand up as a congregation and recite this. And to many of them it becomes meaningless. I mean, they know it so well, it's a meaningless repetition of prayer. And the Lord here speaks against doing that very thing. May we never fall into doing such a thing as that. You know what? Talk to God like you would your own father. How would you like it if your children came up to you and every day repeated the same request all the time? Every day, the same way, exactly the same. After a while, you say, hey, son, can't you ask for something else? Can't you say something else? Well, that's how your heavenly Father is up in heaven. And so, verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. Wow, that's even more of to say don't do such a thing. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. How about that? Now, I know some often say, well, if he knows what I'm going to ask, then why should I ask? Well, remember now, he knows what you're going to, what?
Ask.
So you got to do it. You got to do it. He knows what you're going to ask. Don't say, well, he knows what I'm going to pray about, so why bother? No, wait, man. He knows what you're going to ask for. So go ahead and ask for it. Verse 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Oh, by the way, if you don't have a King James Bible, verse 13 doesn't have, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All that's missing out of a new modern version of the Bible. You need to get yourself a King James Bible and hold on to it until the Lord comes back. That's what you need to do. All right. And so verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So there's how Jesus looks at prayer. Go over to chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And so there's the Lord's a teaching on prayer. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Well, the answer to that is no. He would never do that. If ye then being evil. Now, you know, if men on this world being evil do the right thing when their children ask them, it says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Okay, so that's the Lord's teaching there on prayer. Now, go to chapter 14. Chapter 14 and verse 22. This is just a day in the life of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see something about prayer here. In a day of the Lord Jesus Christ, life here on this earth. 22, it says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there, what does it say?
Alone.
Alone with his heavenly Father up in heaven. He even told his disciples to get in the ships and go on to the other side. For in his heart he said, I need to get alone with my Father. And so do you and so do I. Go to chapter 15 and verse 36. 15 verse 36. Here's another example of a day in the life of Christ. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and brake them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. You all know the story. But notice here that the Lord thanked God for the food. And you and I should do the same thing. He gave thanks and then brake them and then performed a miracle and fed all those people. Go with me then to chapter 26 of Matthew. 26 and verse 36. 26 verse 36. 26, 36. What a time this was. Just before Jesus went to the cross, he had a time of prayer with his heavenly Father. And verse 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed and said, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the 2nd time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the 3rd time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me, referring to Judas. So Gethsemane before the cross. And you see how the Lord prayed there. Do you notice how he prayed? He said, not my will, but thine be done. Make sure in your prayers that you don't tell God what he's got to do. You don't demand God telling him what he's got to do. You can make your request what you'd like him to do, but you must leave the time of prayer, letting it in his hands and according to his will. You've got to do that every time. All right, John 17. We're not going to go there, but that whole chapter, John 17, is Jesus praying what we refer to as his high priestly prayer. The high priestly prayer. And when you read that on your own sometime, I want you to find yourself in that prayer. Because when he prayed for every one of you who is looking at me here tonight. You need to find out where that is in that passage. It's a wonderful thing. You'll see it. He prays for you. You say, well, how could he pray for me? I wasn't even alive then. You read it and find out. You'll see yourself in that prayer. And oh, what a wonderful prayer. Luke 22, if you would. Luke 22, another time when the Lord prayed. Just see what he did. Luke 22 and verse 31 and 32. Luke 22, 31 and 32. This is in reference to Peter. How the Lord was going to pray specifically for Peter. I would like to say, I think he prays for all of us individually. I don't think one of us has to stand in line waiting for the Lord to take care of our needs. He takes care of our needs all the time. In verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, that's another name for Peter. Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And of course, we know how Satan did that when he denied the Lord three times. And that wouldn't happen far after this incident here. Verse 32. But I have prayed for thee, Jesus says. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted. And I don't think that means when he gets saved. But when he gets straightened out as to having denied the Lord three times. He's gotten straightened out. Strengthen thy brethren. That's the Lord praying for his own disciples. I believe he prays for you and me. We ought to pray for each other individually. Yes, we have a prayer. We have a prayer bulletin. We've got everybody who needs to be prayed for on there. And we should be praying for each other. Now, Luke chapter 23, if you would, and verse 34. Luke 23. And verse 34, a blessed, beautiful prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ while he hangs on the cross, dying there for you and for me. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. How many of you have ever heard those words before? Raise your hand. Out of the Bible. Is that the first time you've ever heard those words? Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have a King James Bible, the words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, are gone. Gone. So you better hang on to your King James Bible. You remember what I said this morning about preaching, about the King James Bible? I don't think there's another preacher in the area who makes you aware of all the problems there are than right here at Ray Street Baptist and your pastor, Pastor Freeman, okay? Here in verse 34, though, we hear the Lord even at the door of death praying for the people that were around him and who were responsible for putting him to death. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Go down to verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now that's Jesus in prayer. How about the early church in prayer? How did they see prayer? First of all, go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. It says, these all, and this was right after the ascension of the Lord up into heaven, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. These all continued with one accord in prayer. The early church prayed together. There's nothing wrong with that. It's something we ought to do. We ought to pray together. We provide an opportunity for that here at Ray Street Baptist Church. It's called Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study. And we get together on Wednesday night. And I would encourage you, if you haven't come, to find a way to get here. And just enjoy the fellowship of believers sitting together and praying together. It is a wonderful thing. And don't worry, you say, well, I'm afraid of praying out in front of people. Don't worry about it. You don't have to do it at first. You just listen to the others pray. And then pray in your own heart as well along with them. I'm sure you'll get a blessing out of it. Chapter 2 and verse 42. Chapter 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Amen. Hear the good news and the Bible, the word of God, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in what?
Prayers.
Prayers. They prayed together. Go to Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb came. But what were Peter and John doing the day they healed this lame man? They were going up to the temple to pray together. That's what they were doing. So you see, the early church prayed together. And Peter and John practiced prayer. They went up when it was the time for prayer. So they practiced prayer on a regular basis. And Peter and John, I don't know how they did it. Hey, Peter, you're going up to the temple today? Yeah, okay, I'll go with you. And on up to the temple they go and pray together. What a wonderful. Call up another believer. You going to church tonight? Yes, I'm going to church tonight. Amen. So am I. Let's go and we'll pray together. Eh? That's a good thing. All right. Go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. Acts 4:23. Wow. You're going to hear a whole church praying together. And the Holy Spirit is kind of grabbing out from all of them praying what they were praying about and how they were praying. Whether or not this is the exact things that they said as they prayed or not, it's the gist of what they were praying for sure. All right, here we go. Acts 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company. And this was Peter and John after they were put into prison. They were let go. They went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they, that's the believers, heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? You know what? This congregation knew Psalm 2 by heart, didn't they? They knew it by heart. And they were just reciting Psalm 2 here. Like, we can do it because we've learned it together as a congregation, haven't we? Right? You could say it with me. Go ahead, let's say it. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. All right, that's good enough. I'm not sure I would be able to take us all through. But see, did you hear that? Everybody, a good number of you were saying Psalm 2 together. You know what? We could actually pray that together just like they did there. And so let me finish. In verse 26, the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. That's what we just said. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Let me see, I want to see how far I want to go. Okay, yeah. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by thy name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. You know, we kind of did that in a little way here tonight. Well, not yet. When you leave tonight, we are going to take the deacon's fund. And that's what they did. put a little money together to help someone else in the church who may have need. And don't think, well, I'm not going to give my money for someone else to spend. Hey, everything we have to thank God for. So if you have anything, a little extra, why not drop it into the deacon's fund offering basket on your way out of here tonight and just be full of joy that you did it and that you have the opportunity to help someone else out in the church. And then verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The church prayed for boldness in the midst of persecution that was going on. And you know what? I think the day of persecution for the believer who's really going to take their stand for the Lord is coming. We're going to be up against it quite a bit as we go on down the road here. And prophetically, we've been told to look for it. And so we need to pray that God would give our minister boldness to preach the word in the midst of persecution, and that God would give all of us boldness to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, Acts chapter 12, verse 12. Peter was put in prison, and all the church got together and prayed for him. And when they prayed this in Acts chapter 12, starting at verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Yes, Peter was in prison and he was chained to soldiers. And during the night, the angel of the Lord came and just unchained him and opened the door, and he went right out the door, right out into the city. And when he began to realize what had happened, he says, I'm going to go where I know that they're praying for me. And he went to the house, and there they were gathered together praying for him that night. And then go to chapter 20, verse 36. So when and if your pastor gets thrown in jail for the cause of Christ, you guys all get together and pray for me, okay? And see if the Lord won't send his angel and get me out of there. I'm not sure he'll do that in this day and age, but you know, I think you should still get together and pray if that should happen. Acts chapter 20 and verse 36. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. That's the Apostle Paul's ministry now. And he told them, I'm going to Jerusalem, and I don't know if I'm ever going to see you again. And it really bothered the people. And when he was out at the shore to get on the boat, they all wept sore and kissed him. And it says they kneeled down right there and prayed together. Oh, that's the early church and how they prayed. Now, how about you? How should you pray according to the Bible? Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. Matthew 21 and verse 22. Matthew 21, 22. Pray believing, Christian, and you'll receive things. Verse 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And then you need to pray with power of the Holy Spirit. Go to John chapter 16 and verse 23. John 16. And verse 23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, here he's telling them what they need to do after he's gone. After Jesus leaves them and he goes back to heaven, here's what you're to do. Pray, and up till now, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now we ask for things in Jesus' name. Why? Because he left and he's back up there in heaven at the Father's right hand. And now when we talk to the Father, we need to acknowledge the only reason I'm able to pray to the Heavenly Father is because of Jesus, who is sitting right next to him. It's the only reason I'm allowed in to the prayer room of the Father is because of what Jesus has done for me. And so when we pray, let's not forget to pray in Jesus' name. Verse 25, these things I have spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from the Father, from God. And I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father. So there you go. That's how we're to pray right now while Jesus is gone. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26. I hope this is a help to you so that you'll pray better. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, listen to this. Do you ever get to the point in prayer that you didn't even know what to ask for anymore? You don't even know what to ask, or the situation you could be in is such, I don't even know whether to go to the right or to the left or up or down or any. I don't know what to do. Just sit still or what? Okay. Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, I don't believe this is some kind of charismatic speaking in tongues going on here. No. I don't even believe in the charismatic tongues movement. Don't believe in it at all. I believe tongues in the Bible were languages, known languages, that people were given the ability to use by the Spirit. But here we read that the Spirit himself intercedes on our behalf with groanings that cannot be uttered. In other words, he knows what we need when we don't know what to do. He knows. And he begins to work on our behalf, talking to the Father about what is necessary for us. Then we should pray for the furtherance of the gospel. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2. This is 2 Thessalonians now, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. How should you pray? What should you pray for? The furtherance of the gospel, that more people would hear the good news and get saved. All right, verse 1 of chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. You know, there are those who would work against the preaching of the gospel. You need to pray that God would intervene and keep those men from obstructing the preaching of the gospel. But rather that the word of God might have free course. That the word of God might go out and many people would hear it. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful who shall establish you and keep you from evil. All right, then we need to pray, go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, I know this may be very difficult to do in this day and age, but we are told to do it anyway, and that is to pray for those in authority over us. And as we get closer to the election, I'm telling you, neither one of these should be in authority over us. But when and if it happens, you need to pray for them. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. And I believe these that are running, and not only the top two, but many others, on the lower tickets as well. You know what they need? They need to be saved. They need to be saved. That's what they need. First and foremost, not to be elected, but to be saved. And the believers are called upon to pray for them to get saved. How about this now? Pray for healing. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And starting in verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. That would be me. You'd call for me. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And I tell you what, I'll bring oil. It might be Valvoline or Pennzoil. No. Usually it's just whatever kind of oil I can get, a nice clean oil, okay? And doesn't matter what kind it is, just as long as it's oil. Because it's a type of the Holy Spirit. That's why. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. You know, one of the things I will do if you call upon an elder to come and pray over someone who's sick, before I anoint with oil and pray that God would help them get better, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to deal with them concerning any possible sin, which may be the reason why they're sick to begin with. And that's what I will do. So you might want to be careful before you call the elder, because that's his responsibility, to make sure that you're right with God. And once you're right with God, then we can ask the Lord to take care of you and to anoint with oil. And I'm going to tell you, I have done this. I've already done this just once. That's all. But I will do it if called upon to do so. I'm not afraid to do it, and I would do it. All right, then some other things. Pray for your concerns that you have. Husbands and wives need to pray together. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 tells us that. And here's another thing we should pray for the Lord's return. You know what? Pray for the Lord to come back. Revelation 5, 8, chapter 8, verse 3, chapter 6, verses 9 and 11. And do not stop. Keep on praying. Don't stop praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without what? Ceasing. Don't stop praying. So let me say this to you in closing. Do you have a time of prayer? If not, you need to have a time of prayer. Maybe it's in bed just before you fall asleep. Maybe it's in the morning when you wake up. Maybe it's in the afternoon or something. You need to have a time when you pray. And what about prayer meeting? Let me just say this. I know that Wednesday night might be a difficult thing to get out for and at when you're working and so forth. But let me just encourage you to get out for prayer meeting. Not necessarily all the time, but how about every time you can? Every time you can, come on out to prayer meeting. Oh, I'd like to see more chairs filled here on Wednesday night as we call upon God to help us, just like the early church did. God does want to hear from you, by the way. And you know why you don't have things? Because you don't ask for them. That's why. You know, a child can complain a lot. Oh, I don't. My dad never gives me enough of this, and my parents, they just don't know how it is. Have you ever asked them for it? Well, no. Okay. Well, you have not, because you asked not. That's what it says in James chapter 4, verses 1-3. And then does God answer prayer? Oh, yes, He does. Oh, yes, He does. Does He sometimes not hear you when you pray? Yeah. When you're not walking with Him as you ought to, He'll not hear your prayer. So you need to be in fellowship with Him. But when He is listening to you, oh, He does take care. Let us pray, all right? Dear God in heaven, we've just got done talking about what I'm doing right now. And so I bring this request as pastor of this church that you would help everyone here to take it upon themselves to see the responsibility we have now that Jesus has ascended up into heaven and we're waiting for Him to come back. We need to read our Bibles and we need to pray. Help us to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.